Hello. Welcome to 2020 and a new endeavors. Indecision keeps me up now. Need another place to mind my mind. Give a little bit of God to sin. Keeping safe is I'm not really sure where to begin today. I know a few of you have been clamoring for new episodes. Inadvertently, I took off pretty much all of December, and a good chunk of November as well. Whether it was conscious or not, whether I liked it or not, this podcast kind of became a lower priority and got shoved onto the back burner there for a bit. Truth be told, it can be really hard self-producing everything, getting all the interviews, writing all the questions, getting to the interviews while you have two day jobs and very little money. Not that I'm using that as an excuse by any means, but I definitely needed to refocus on certain things. And now that it's 2020, I definitely want to refocus and revitalize and reinvigorate this podcast. And I know generally I've been trying to do two episodes a week. I'm not necessarily going to make that same commitment, but I'm also not going to say that there's only going to be one. Sometimes there might be three, sometimes there might be one. I am going to try to do more long-form interviews, 30, 40, 50 minutes. I am going to try to do more interviews in person, only because, in my opinion, the sound quality is a lot better than when I do it over the phone, over the Skype. I am going to try and get a proper cable and finally hook up my mixer, but these things will take time. At any rate, I hope everyone listening had a happy new year. So, who is on the show today? I did have this band on a few years ago. I guess it would have been 2018. They are a family punk rock band from Orangeville, a dad and his two sons. And they've actually released a few different projects as of late. One is called Not From This Town, which is actually part of a greater trilogy called Sound Check and Fury. I got to sit down with the gentleman and discuss the new projects, their writing process, their musical process, what's it like being a family and working together, and a whole host of other things. This interview was recorded back in December, so bear that in mind. But without further ado, this is my conversation with The Discarded. That was the song, My Life Story. And now, as previously announced, here is the interview with The Discarded. I am here with the gentleman from The Discarded. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing? Joel here.
Caden and Jared.
Joel, Caden, and Jared. We were joking earlier about the weather. How was it driving in today, all right?
You know, it's Canada. You know, driving for a little while in that, it's not so much what you're doing, it's what the other people are doing on the road. So it's fine. We've been doing a bit of a tour across southern Ontario now, so we've been driving most weekends anyway. So,
Everyone forgets how to drive during the winter.
Yeah.
How is it spending... You are a family.
Correct.
How is it spending that much time together in such close quarters, a.k.a. the car?
No different than the past, like, 10 years. Like, we used to play a lot of sports, so we're used to trekking an hour or two for, like, a one-hour event.
If anything, the car is probably a bit better than anywhere else because we just have play some tunes or, you know, you like to nap and that sort of stuff. Yeah. So it's like, if anything, we've already got past the point of what is it like to travel together. Like, a lot of bands, the first time they travel together is when they go out on the road for the first time. Us, like we said, we've been doing it together since they've been born, sort of thing. So we're used to traveling together and what the dynamic is to be in a car and who likes what tunes and who controls the radio, etc.
You did something interesting in that you sort of released a trilogy of albums on two records.
Yeah. Last year we wrote a play, a musical per se, called Soundcheck and Fury. And what we did was we recorded all 17 songs. Now, 17? What? No, 17.
17.
Okay. And the thing about it is that the music works on its own. You don't really need the play to understand what the music's about. But we released the first act in March as EP. And then we released, right now, we've just released the second two acts, which are called Life in a Van and Looking Forward on now as a full-length album. Mm-hmm.
I noticed at your merch table that you had vinyl copies of everything. And, you know, even in the age where a lot of younger people don't really know what CDs are anymore and old, yeah, you know, and streaming is everything, vinyl's never going to go away.
Yeah. We kind of, like... especially at a show, people want to get something that's a bit different. Like, yeah, of course, they can always download. We're on all the different platforms to be able to stream or download our songs if you want them that way. But when you come to a show, there's people. You're right. It's like a niche thing. They collect vinyl and they like that sort of medium. So we do a limited run of every album that we've done. We do about 200 or 300 copies of each, so that we can sell those and people have like a more unique, say, collector's item of the albums that we put out.
Just from a musicianship perspective, what do you enjoy about vinyl records? I've heard some people say, you know, it's the collectors, it's the sound quality, it's, you know, it can't be copied, you know, as easily as a CD or something.
I definitely say vinyl has a better sort of angle sound-wise. Like, I do a lot of streaming just because how I work and stuff like that. So... everything always on earbuds seems very squashed in. It's very in your face, but there's a lot more space when it comes to vinyl. You pick up more nuances. There's a little more room for each instrument to breathe, so to say.
I like it for the inconvenience. No, it's more of a ritual when you listen to an album. You're sitting down, you're gonna put it on, you're gonna concentrate. Typically, you're gonna listen to the whole side or the whole album. Whereas streaming, you tend to have playlists, you tend to pop around, you tend to do one song and then you're onto something. Whereas there, you're going to sit down, it's like, I'm listening to this album, how it was intended by the band, in the order that it was going to be, how they wanted their songs to roll out. So, in that way, it's a bit cooler. Like, even now, they have a younger sister, daughter who's 9 years old, and instead of bedtime stories sometimes, we'll put on an album. I'll lie on one couch, she'll lie on the other. You and Cade and I, at the end of the night, we'll throw on an album and pick an album, we'll put it on and just kind of sit back and listen to that. And then you kind of take it in a bit more, you know, that way.
It strikes me that what I find really interesting is that you see these, you know, big bands or big pop stars that are mainstream that don't necessarily release vinyl or hard copy of music in the same way that a lot of the indie bands do, maybe more of the punk bands, more of the rock bands. Yeah. Is it a numbers thing? Is it a money thing? Is it a genre thing? What do you think?
I personally think it's more of a thing that they don't really release as many albums as much. Plus, it's very easy for them to go into a studio, record a song, release as a single. So, I don't know. With indie bands, it's usually a very concentrated effort. Like, we've been together for a while. We're going to scrape together money. Let's do an album. It's more of an event for them. So, this is only the only time they're going to release music for a while, likely. So, they want to make it a big thing. While for bigger artists, they just have the resources to really release music whenever they want.
I think they make a lot of money streaming, so they don't need to do an album. An album is a vanity thing where they're going, yeah, we're going to do that to give away or have for a record store day or something like that. Whereas with a band that's an indie band, a punk band, a small or scale band, that's how you make some money. You know, like, it's not like... they're going to get a million, billion streams and make a crap load of money, because that's the way Spotify divides it up, that they're going to get a big load of the money because they have the majority of streams go to them. An indie band, you buy their product, that money goes right to them, to right back into them to invest in their music. So that's why you see bands like us do that sort of thing. It's just like, great, that came right to us. It didn't go through a label, didn't go through a streaming thing where we got 0.002 cents. We made that product and we got that return right back.
We're here at the Bovine tonight, and it's a small, intimate venue, but it's very, very loud and boisterous.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great stage.
It's a great stage. Great sound here, man.
When you have a crowd like that, what does it do for you as a band in terms of your performance or engaging with the audience?
I like to think we play a bit better, just because we know there's people here listening.
Well, you feed off the crowd, and so yeah. If you got people and you get immediately getting a visceral response to what you're doing, it makes you want to rock a bit harder, it makes you a bit more excited about what you're doing. You just have a lot more fun. It's a great sounding stage, it's a great sounding room, so even that in itself, even if it was empty, it would be a hell of a lot of fun for us to play together.
Caden, a word?
Say something for once.
You're in the band.
Yeah, I don't know. Whenever there's more people in the crowds into it, obviously you get more hyped up for the show. So that's always good.
Man, a few words.
Is it? Do you find yourselves approaching a show differently? Whether you actually have people that you know in the audience, like family, versus just a bunch of strangers?
I would say slightly.
Not really.
Depends. I don't know.
I just kind of play and like to put on a good show, regardless if there's 5 people or 500. You know, you're going to go out and do the best that you can. You're right. If there's a bunch of people there and they're into it, sure, you're probably going to get more excited, as opposed to there's no one there. Or I don't know, if you're playing to people you know, it's kind of great when you're not playing to people you know, because then it's a bit more exciting for them if they're into what you're doing. Whereas someone who you know is kind of coming out because they know you, sort of right. thing. If anything, if you're only going to play to people you know, it doesn't really grow what you're doing. So
you're a bit more relaxed and you're more willing to, I don't know, I find we usually take more time between songs to say hi. And
yeah, but
it's a different dynamic for sure, but I wouldn't say a big one.
We play pretty a tight set regardless. We don't sit there and chat and goof around. We're pretty like, next song, you're starting the next ones. We like to keep a flow to our sets and that, so you're going to get the same sort of rock and roll set out of us if there's a lot of people there or not there. So,
you mentioned that you've been doing sort of mini tours around mm-hmm. Southern Ontario every weekend.
We've started off at the beginning of November. We're finishing up at the end of December. So, yeah, we're playing pretty well every weekend since the beginning of November there. We like, when we put on an album, we like to go out and try. We'd like to play as many places as we can. We like to get as far as we can. Right now it seems to be in the greater Southern Ontario region there, so that's what we've been doing, and going back to some places we played, playing a couple of new places and that, so each time you hope to reach out and have a few more people go, hey, that's a pretty cool band, and they might find out who you are.
Do you have a favorite memory of the tour so far?
Doug and Joe was pretty good, the record release.
Yeah,
that was fun. I enjoyed that one, mainly because I'm a big fan of the opening band.
Yeah. I thought Peterborough was a nice surprise there.
Yeah.
Like, when you go with a certain expectation, you go, oh, it's going to be a big crowd, or it's going to be not a big crowd. And if it's the opposite of what you expect, it tends to go, especially if you're thinking like, oh, this is just going to be, an average night or whatever, and then a whole bunch of people come out and they're all into it, then that was pretty cool. So I thought Peterborough was kind of cool in that particular sense. Duggan's was a lot of fun because there was, it was a good crowd there, and it was like a hometown crowd for us when we do our Toronto shows. So, and like Jarrett said, the opening band is a band that we really like, and so it was kind of a nice vibe to be able to listen to them and have them and enjoy their music, and then to get to go on and play.
Anyone for you, Caden?
Probably the Duggan show.
Duggan show?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had our whole family there. Like, yeah. We brought down the two younger siblings as well were there as well helping out, so it was kind of nice to have everyone there in that regard.
Very chill vibe.
Yeah, it was a chill vibe. It was nice.
As not only as a band, but as a family, how does your creative process work in terms of the writing, the lyrics, the rehearsals?
The band's a bit different than, say, the family. Well, we're always family, even when we're downstairs, and we're still. It's not like all of a sudden we're not related. We're still related, but we tend to be more of a peer thing where, like, you know, Caden will go, I think it should go like this, and, you know, it should be like this, or I might have an idea. Like, we've been jamming a lot, me and Caden, and we're coming up with some rough stuff. And then when we get into rehearsal, Jarrett is there, and he tends to write his parts and make more intricate parts and add a whole new melody to the song that wasn't there, which is very cool. After we kind of jammed out a thing and got something, we put it down on a phone, and I might go away and write words and solidify up the arrangement a bit more, or I might have worked on the arrangement with Caden. And when we bring the whole thing together, Jarrett has parts that he thinks it should go. So everyone kind of throws in their ideas now, a lot more now than even when we first started. And we've been developing songs as a unit more so than, here's my song, guys, you haven't really played for very long, it goes like this sort of thing, right? So that's very cool. It's nice. Plus, these guys are so much better in their playing from when we first started on.
Sorry. Yeah.
In terms of, you know, the original song from when you, you know, first write it or record on your phone mm-hmm. to when you get into the studio to record it, how similar or different is the final project from the original idea?
For me personally, every single riff I contribute sounds very different when we finally get into the studio, just because it goes through these guys' creative process compared to my one little idea. I find the stuff you and Caden jam out stays pretty similar, mainly because there's that foundation there where mine's more of a fragment.
Yeah, and my vocals tend to develop when I get more comfortable with the melody that I'm singing, and I tend to sing stronger after a while when I got my words down better and I'm stronger on when I'm singing in that. But a lot of the time a song becomes a song for us. We're not really a jam band. We're a write-a-song sort of band. So when we get down to a song, say the song goes like this, we say it's a song once we've got the arrangement. And a lot of time that comes between Caden and myself, where we go, that's how we've locked in the arrangement. And then Jarrett goes and he develops a bass line, and he might just play a basic bass line when he first hears it to go through the song and get the arrangement. But then he develops and develops as it goes along. When we get into a studio, even from the time where we did the demos at Drew's place for this latest album we're recording until we got into the studio, we also thought about different instruments and sounds that we're using. So, you know, what that demo was just bash it out, whereas the recording was, okay, we're going to do this, and then we're going to build this, and then that's going to go on it. So we're doing that a bit more now once we get to the final sort of product or the final recording of it all. So it does change a bit. The arrangement's probably similar, and the chords are similar, but the overall sound and groove might change, and a few extra little parts that have been added as far as melodies and that.
Yeah. Artistically, when do you know that you're ready to branch out, whether it's in terms of style or adding different, you know, instruments or, you know, a guest vocalist, for example? Is there one moment that's is it just let's try this, or do you think we're ready for this?
I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah, we've been kind of, the latest recording we do is going to be radically different than all the recordings we've done to date. The first recording was very rudimentary, Cramps, Ramonesy style. These two guys hadn't been playing for very long, and that was capture of that moment. The next album is very dense and thick sounding, and it's us doing the songs, but they had grown so much musically. This album that we're talking about now, that's just out,
had a little bit more experimentation.
Yeah, we had like Ian Blurton, the producer, and we had a lot more different guitar sounds and more space, more different tempos and sounds between the songs.
And then I started adding keyboards as I got more competent, since I was taking lessons.
And this one, we've got a concept that was like, we're almost pretending we're a different band on this one. In fact, we are pretending we're a different band on this one, and it will sound, we're not thinking we have to sound like anything that we've sounded like, right. And we've got way different tempos, and we worked on what the tempos were going to be, and we worked on how the songs go together and the arc of the whole album, how the songs fit together, and then some pretty radical departures about how our sound was until this particular point.
So would you consider it, you know, because people throw this word around a lot, departure?
Yeah.
But there's also a way of looking at it, which is an extension.
Yeah,
of,
it's a growth.
Certainly, like, if you listen when the album comes out, obviously, you'll hear songs that still sound like the stuff we've done before. Just there's other songs that maybe we're doing different stuff in the arrangement. Like, maybe there's an acoustic guitar this time, or maybe we add some horns, or, like, this one's keyboard-based. It's more about trying new stuff as we've grown as musicians.
We're not going to sit there and go, this is our jacket, everything has to sound exactly like it did on the first album, and we're never going to evolve. As we got better and we got ideas, we're like, there's no real jacket that we need to wear. We can do whatever we want, sort of thing, and whatever we do, that's our sound at this particular point. And this one's, it's informed by, say, punk rock, or it's informed by garage rock, and there's heaviness to it. We don't have to worry about bringing the heavy, but there's also, you know, I'm going to put a 12 string at the beginning of this, or it's going to start with an acoustic guitar before everything comes in and it builds up, sort of thing.
The most important part I find is we're doing this because we want to, not because we're being told to.
Yeah.
It's interesting, you know, you look at a band like the Beatles, for example, that basically had the same formula for 7 years, songs were all the same, you know, 2.5-3 minutes for the most part, and they were the most wildly successful band in the world.
Nah, but you look at Love Me Do, when they started, you look by the time where they 2 years later they were doing like Nowhere Man and
right.
you know, then they were into Sergeant Pepper. Well, 3 years later. And
sure.
then you got Sergeant Pepper 4 years later where you get their whole psychedelic period. And
right.
then by the time you listen to Abbey Road and the White Album, they don't sound like Meet the Beatles at that particular part.
Fair.
There was a great growth between
Fair.
Them and the 7 years that they recorded.
I would say the Ramones is a more accurate sort
oh.
of
Yeah,
okay.
Ramones right. sounded kind of similar all the way through in that. So yeah, I think there, even them, like Sgt. Pepper was, we're tired of being the Beatles, we're tired of being the Mop Tops, we're going to be a whole different band. And they came out and pretended they were a whole different band. And then
right.
there was orchestra on that, and there was like, you know, I read the news today, oh boy, and you know, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I thought that was there. They had the jacket, but they kind of threw it aside. And then after a while, they went, well, screw it. We don't want to be a psychedelic band anymore. We want to get back to being a rock and roll band again.
Yeah. Some bands very much find their niche. Like, I'd say Motorhead, they basically did the same thing for their entire career and did it very well.
And did it very well, so they didn't really need to change it, right?
Some bands don't need to change. Some bands do.
Yeah, I think whatever the band is the dynamic of the band. It shouldn't be forced. It should just be where you go. So if that's what you do and that's what you are, then those should be the songs that come out, and it's filtered through what you do. We have many different influences that we like, from classic rock to punk rock to, you know, modern rock. We'll just throw it in there, but what's going to come out is us playing it, so it's going to sound like us doing whatever we're doing.
Out of the sort of trilogy that's out right now,
mm-hmm.
do you have one or two favorite songs that you can pinpoint?
Caden?
I would probably say 24 Hours and President.
That's not on this album.
That's on the second album.
Oh, are we doing that? I thought...
No.
No, okay. The most recent
one. The most recent
album. Recent one. Okay, 24 Hours and My Life Story.
My Life Story?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say Silver Spoon. I'm quite happy with the one we got on that. A bit too heavy. The recording actually made... I've come to really like the song since we got it down.
Yeah, I like a bit too heavy.
And then Looking Forward, I like how we branched out a bit on that
yeah.
one.
Yeah, and I like 24 Hours as well. I like the groove that we lay down there. It's got a nice dynamic to it. And, you know, Has Been Never Was a good, you know, straight-up power pop punk song. I like My Baby is a Go-Go Girl. You know, there's a couple of ones there. I like your keyboard and your bass line on I'm Addicted to Her sort of thing. So... Yeah, those are all kind of... There's kind of like surf rocky sort of songs. There's power pop punk sort of songs on there. And then there's like straight up like heavy songs, like a bit too heavy. So, like I say, the sound's a bit more eclectic than, you know, the last album, Manifesto, was just like early 70s sounding punk rock all the way through. This has a bit more dynamics, within the same sort of genre.
Well, even the first EP was very straight rock.
Yeah,
as well. It's a bit more eclectic.
And I mean, like in Music Whores Live.
Yeah.
The groove on that. Go ahead.
You mentioned how this kind of started as a quote-unquote a musical.
There's a whole play that goes with it, with words and everything.
Are you going to put it up on the stage?
Well, that's a whole other endeavor, or a rock band, and to put on a stage production. I would love to, you know. I could see it at a particular time if we're not doing this, to kind of go, hey, I'm going to try and either make a film or mount a production of this. I've got the words, we have the music, we could do it. We even did the mixes with this with just the music, so that if someone wants to sing over top the music, mm-hmm. we could do it that way and have someone else play the parts that are written in this.
Mm-hmm. Just with the shows we sort of play, I'm not sure if it quite fits yet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would love to do it and probably mount it, but not at this particular time because we're still just creating music.
Sure.
It's either where are we putting our energy towards putting on a play, which is a great endeavor to have to do. You need to... that. Whole thing is going to be a year to develop that, rehearse that, mount that, the money behind it, do that
yeah.
sort of thing.
It'd be nice to have the full arrangement.
So yeah, and then right now we're still a rock band that's creating music and making new albums to get. Okay, we're going to get you on this project.
And we
for
made
three
sure
or
the
four
songs
years.
Would stand on their own. So
yeah. So yeah, I would love to. The play's there. If you want to put on the album, you can go to our website and you can open up the script and read along and see what the story is that goes with these songs.
Cool.
If you want, if you're into that.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
if not, you can just listen to music, right?
I mean, I produce two plays, so.
There you go. So,
yeah.
Like, you would be someone who, like, oh, really? And you could go on and go, I'm going to read this. Oh, let's get to the song part. I can listen to the song that goes with it, and I can see how that furthers the narrative and where it fits in that whole thing.
Uh-huh.
We don't think you need to be, like, it's kind of, I don't know if it's punk rock or non-punk rock. You do what you want to do if you're into punk rock. And part of that was, you don't have to be dumb. You can be smart. You can write things. You can do things that, you know, literature, books, scripts here.
Right.
So in that particular juncture, like, you're from a theater background, so am I. So that's a cool thing. Let's do that. That's what we do. That's part of our creativity. Let's moving into it.
All right. Well, Jared, Joel, Caden, the Discarded, thanks so much.
No problem. Thank you.
And that was my discussion with the Discarded. Their new trilogy, Soundcheck and Fury, is out now. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy 2020. Taking you out with one more song by The Discarded. This is their track, 24 Hours. Thanks for tuning in, and I will see you next time with more regularity. Bye for now.
artists like to have a lot of sex.